What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for a special episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we are back. Again, a special episode, so this is not getting a number. We were given screeners to check out the new Disney Plus show, or rather Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. I want to say Marvel, because it's Marvel first before Disney, but anywho. And we enjoyed it. We enjoyed it. I want to get this out the way before we get into things because seeing this show get announced, we were really excited and, you know, even more excited once we got the screeners. We were like, oh, we got to check this out, to check out the show and whatnot. And because we don't have enough black superheroes, we don't have enough black women superheroes either. And so having another one that's really cool coming to I don't know if she's in the MCU, but just coming to, the Disney platform is really, really cool. And so, you know, we got access to three episodes, the first, second, and third episode, and kind of get an introductory into the world of Moon Girl. Just to start out, though, it's a little different from the comics. If you've been reading the comics, I'm a fan of Moon Girl. I have daughters, so I kind of have to be. it's dope, though. It's definitely dope. And the show reflects that a little, but it kind of goes into its own thing as well. And it's good. It's good. So initial thoughts, we want to get our initial thoughts out there. Mm-hmm. I was a little hesitant. I was a little, in terms of watching the first episode, I was a little, I don't know. You know, we have this thing where a lot of black shows, or just black content anyways, it has to speak for all black folks, right? It has to represent us right. And in doing so, I was like, well, maybe this is a little too on the nose with the dialogue and stuff like that. Maybe this is a little too much going in one direction versus another. And after a while, I want to say within the first 3 or 4 minutes, I was like, nah, this is good. This is good. Moon Girl and her family. This is her family. This is her block. This is the place that she lives. This is how people interact with one another. And it feels genuine. It doesn't feel like we were trying to necessarily create a black show. It just naturally is. And because of that, it works really well in my regard. What do you think? Because I know we were kind of like a little bit, this might be a little too corny or a little too whatever when we first started watching. What did you think?
I really liked it. Upon the first episode, just a few minutes into it, and I was like, this is cute. It was, it did have its little kind of corny-ish things, but it became very clear who the target audience was, that this was for kids. And this wasn't watching Into the Spider-Verse, or it wasn't watching just some of the animated shows that are geared towards older teens and definitely in adults. Like, this is really a kid's show. And I think that that's great. And that's what I liked so much about it. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is really, really good for, little kids who are going to see this superhero that looks like them. And she's mad nerdy, but cool and fun. Right. I think that little kids, little girls, I mean, honestly, little anybody's, as long as they're little people, but little kids are going to love the fact that, this kid, it has their own lab that they're keeping secret from their parents in a subway.
Right.
So I think that I really enjoyed it. I kind of felt like it was necessary to put yourself on the level of a kid that's not going to ask super serious questions on some things that adults would be like, no.
Right.
I enjoyed it.
And for people who don't know, it's and this is not really a spoiler or anything like that. We're not going to give any spoilers. Just want to throw that out there. Mm-hmm. It's not like the comic in the sense that I think that's how you say her name.
Lunella, yeah.
Lafayette, she is not an inhuman in this show. She is a normal human, but just extremely smart, which is cool in and of itself. And the way she meets Devil Dinosaur is similar but different. The way they interact and everything is a little different. And so there are elements in the show where I think in the comic, they explain away where you're like, okay, this makes sense in a comic book world. In the show, it's kind of like you have to suspend disbelief a little bit more, but it's appropriate. Like you said, this is, you know, 13-year-olds are going to like this show a lot, and they're going to not really care so much about those, you know, bits and pieces. They're just going to care about the relationships, the friendships that are developing, the drama that, you know, the main characters get into, the, you know, the family stuff, which is, you know, it kind of gives me, and this is a compliment, I just want to say, it gives me like a C-Bear and Jamal, proud family, you know, type of vibe, which is good, which is good. You know, the newer proud family, not older proud family.
Yeah.
Because in a sense that it's not problematic. There's no, at least from what I've seen in the first three episodes, there isn't anything problematic. And we thought there were going to be. We're going to get to that in a little bit. We thought there was going to be something a little problematic, but it turned out to be good. So one thing I wanted to make mention is the animation style. It looks like a comic book. Even though it doesn't really pull from the comics, it looks like a comic book. There's a cool aesthetic. It looks like, you know, if you collected comic books back in the day, has like a pop art style. It looks like, you know, how the, when a comic is printed, they have all the little dots and everything. If you're a fan of pop art, you kind of know what I'm saying, but it's, it has that vibe. But then over top of that is a bright pastel treatment that looks really cool. It pops. The colors are really like, not in a way that's bad, but there's like, it's going to grab someone's attention. When you see the bright purples and pinks and blues and everything, it's really going to grab you. And then the animation is very kinetic. It moves rapid, almost too much so in certain places, especially the first episode. But it's not bad, though. It's definitely, I like what they did. And if you've watched like Into the Spider-Verse, or even better, the trailer for the new Into the Spider-Verse movie, where they go to the different places and there's different art treatments based on where they go, you kind of get some of the same vibe with this show. And I really like it. I like the penmanship, or the, you know, if you can, I'm nerdy about the art stuff, folks. My fault. But I like the fact that you can tell, you can see the artist's hand in everything. And not only that, I love the fact that they depict Black people really well with this styling, the way they do the hair, the way they do, you know, the skin tones and whatnot. I think they do a really good job for Black and brown folks. The white people look good too, but I think they do a solid job with that. And so yeah, the animation I think is awesome. And I really like, once things kind of slope a little bit, I like the flow of how things kind of transpire. And I like the fact that there's a lot of personality, everything from her goggles, the way they mimic her feelings in the moment, the way Double Dinosaur acts when he's trying to, because he doesn't talk, even though he's voiced by someone. He doesn't talk for the most part. He does like growls and such, but he's still able to emote how he feels, where he's angry or sad or whatever the case may be. And the animation lends itself really well to that. What did you think of the animation?
I loved it. It was obviously the first thing. That's the first thing you see. And it was really eye-catching. It was really catching. I really liked it. It made me just want to keep watching, made me want to see more, just because I loved the art style. I love the call-out boxes. The expressive boxes. Like, it's one thing, you know, for there to be call-out boxes when you have dialogue, but like these were all expressions, very similar to, you know, Miles Morales. It was like something would happen and then you would see those exclamation points in a call out box, and that's so cool. And that's, it's just, you know, a detail, it's something to tell everyone, hey, this is a comic, to remind you what you're in for, you know, remind you what media you're looking at, or at least the origins of what you're looking at. So I really, really love the colors, just like you were saying, like some of those colors are just so bold and bright. I think they do a good job reminding you that your main character is a girl in a way. Yes, like it's like that. I really, really feel like they have this idea where this is really a pull to get young girls earlier, even earlier than 13. Our characters are 13 years old, but they want to get 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds that are going to be inspired by this girl who's older than them, to be into STEM. I really think that that's the idea. It's there's a political movement involved. You know, it's getting young Black girls into STEM by way of a superhero. Like, how cool is that? Because there are people who, I mean, everybody wants to imitate, you know, the things that they see on television. I don't think there's not one person who can sit here and say, unless they don't watch TV, like literally can't watch. Okay. But, you know, we all like to imitate and emulate others. And this is a great way to do it in a very positive manner. And there's also a lot of lessons to be learned. You know, this isn't just a little girl who's running around fighting crime and always solving every issue that comes towards her. No, she has a lot of difficulty because she might be super smart, but at the end of the day, she's a kid.
Right. Exactly.
So,
and they
I
lean
think
on
all
that,
of that
too.
Was relayed. Yeah.
They lean on that, which I think with some of the comedy comes in for the adults, right? Because even though she is very smart, she is still 13. And so there are things like, and this is, we can jump into the first episode, but like there's a point where her mother gives her a, like a tape machine, like a tape recorder. And she doesn't know what it is, but she has a whole lab, you know, she has a secret lab under, you know, like it goes from her bedroom down through, like there's an elevator that goes down through her apartment into the subway. And that's where she does all her, you know, scientific stuff. And it's like, wow, you know all of this, but you don't know what it, like, at the very least, not know to go look it up on Google. You know what I mean? Because they have smartphones, they have, so it's like, she's like, oh, wow, that's what this is, when she finally figures out like what it is. But by that time, she's already upgraded, which is, again, because she's super smart, she's upgraded and didn't even know what it was, you know?
Nope.
By adding different parts and whatnot to it. And so it's comical in that sense. You know what I mean? Speaking of the voice work, we got to talk about some of the voice actors. Diamond White, she voices Moon Girl. She also, if you didn't know, she voiced Frankie Green on Transformers Rescue Bots. My kids really love that show. And that's the little girl, Doc Green's daughter. She also voiced, she was in a Phineas and Ferb on Disney. She was in, and then also she had, you know, television shows like Blackish and Dear White People on Netflix and stuff like that. So Diamond White has been around, and she does a really good job voicing Moon Girl. It's believable. And some of the things that she says, like, I have, you know, three daughters, and a son, and like just hearing the interactions between the kids, I'm like, oh, that's what they would say. That sounds familiar, you know? And so she does a really, really good job of that. And actually all the women, granted the men do a good job too, but we're you know, focusing on the women, all the women, Sashier, Zameta, she's from SNL and she voices, Andrea, or I think it's Andrea, Moon Girl's mother. And solid work there as well. We have the BAFTA award winning actress, Alfra Woodward, who voices, she voices Moon Girl's grandmother. And I'm bringing these up because they do such a good job with just being the patriarch of the family, you know, being the beacon when things go a little left or right for Moon Girl. And so having them voice these characters and doing such a good job kind of helps, you know, propel the messages and the things that they have going, the positive messages that they have going in the show. And so we definitely want to, you know, shout them out. But visually, you know, the sound, you know, voice work, and then music. I didn't know this was going to have as much music as it does. I didn't realize that there were going to be, you know, some, not long, but which, you know, some songs, some, musical numbers, you know, and it seems like it's a every episode thing, and they're good. I'm typically not the one. It's weird. I like musicals, but I don't like musicals in my animation, if that makes sense. Unless it's Encanto, like I like that. But for the most part, I'm like, nah. Give me music, man. Cool, but not. Lion King. I mean, granted, Lion King's, you know, is amazing, but I don't really want that. But this actually works because it's very short. It's usually a bop, like you were saying, and it enforces or reinforces, I'm sorry, the message of whatever the episode is. And so big fan of that. Big fan of that.
Yeah. I think that's one of the other reasons why I feel that the target audience is young. Like it is so young, because when we were growing up, I feel like that was everything. Obviously, except certain shows. Like, I mean, X-Men the Animated Series in 95 was not, there were no musicals. numbers, okay, like that wasn't
exactly happening,
but that did happen in The Simpsons, and it did happen in other shows. And I mean, again, I'm not even sitting here saying that The Simpsons target audience was 10-year-olds, because really,
clearly,
it's debatable. but I feel like this, like, obviously, if you are a parent and you're watching this with your kids, the message is going to get to you too, and it's going to get relayed. But I think, you know, little kids, sometimes that is the best way to get stuff to them. It's the best way to get them to remember things, because they have this cool song and then they just keep singing it. You know, kids, like, stuff gets stuck in their head and then they sing it forever. The adults are sitting there like,
fam, that, what's that song? We don't talk about, what's his name?
That.
Like, oh my gosh, Bruno, they, fam, and there's so many words to that song, but they only say that part.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh.
I mean, it's like Let It Go. You had kids who were just screaming Let It Go. And that was it. But that's the idea. I mean, if you can get the message into these kids via song, and then, you know, the message will stick. And obviously each episode that we saw had a message. We got three episodes, each episode had a message. So as long as it works, as long as people respond positively to it, I think they might continue to do it.
Definitely. So yeah, the first episode is essentially an introduction to Moon Girl, how she gets her, I don't want to say powers, but how she meets Double Dinosaur, the gadgets that she makes to, you know, help her stop crime and stuff like that. We also are introduced to the initial plight that she has to go through to kind of get to where she needs to be in terms of even wanting to be a superhero. We find out the state of things with her family, the things that they're going through, and the dynamic, because she lives in a multi-generational house. So you have, you know, her and her brother, then you have her mother and father, and then her grandfather and grandmother all live in the same, in the same house or same apartment. And so there's interesting dynamic there, because they get along. There's the drama that kind of happens is more of a comedic, or I guess, like, they're not really beefing with one another in a sense. It's more like experiencing different perspectives of the same thing in different ways, which leads to some funny moments. And we also learn of, you know, her classmates, Moon Girl's classmates and whatnot, and how they interact. We get to see the homegirl, Carly, which, if you've seen the trailer, she's the young girl who's with her, who's trying to record her as she's, you know, being Moon Girl and whatnot. We get to see her and how everything plays out in terms of establishing this part of the Marvel world, if you will. Right. And so it does a really good job of that. It's actually a long episode. They do a decent amount. I mean, it moves really quickly early on. And that's what I was saying about the kinetic. I think some people, like, if you are maybe the older statesman of the family, might have a little trouble keeping up with them cutting back and forth really quickly. But it moves. It moves at a quick pace. But not in a
did have a little bit of issue.
You did?
Oh, we were watching it. I was like, ooh, I had to pause, like, myself. I was just like, ooh, my eyes.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about that, you know, because, you know, you have, you know, the concussion and everything, and how that would play out. So that's something to think about. Not in the sense that this is not something that's necessarily a dig at the show, but because shows nowadays kind of do that anyways. Like, it's way more, I don't want to say hyperactive, but it moves a lot. It's trying to grab the younger people's attention, right? Yeah. But with the bright colors and how fast everything moves, it can be a little overwhelming at times. So that's, you know, if you do have any type of, you know, disability in that regard, ocular, then maybe, you know, you know, just watch out for that. But it moves at a, at a pretty rapid pace, even though it is a long episode, and you kind of get the nuts and bolts of of these characters. And it's comical. There's some funny things that happen that I didn't expect to laugh out loud. I really didn't at this show with some of the dynamics between the characters. We can't go, we're not going to go too far into the villain and, you know, who they're about and whatnot, because we don't want to spoil anything for you. But just to kind of relay that I like, there's really no character I didn't like. There's some really cool Easter eggs. One of them being Naruto, which was hilarious when we saw that. Like, I had to go back and pause
it. Wait, what?
There's a cool scene. Nice. Yes, there's a cool scene with some classmates who may or may not be in cosplay. It goes by pretty quickly, but it's like Naruto is in this show. Not officially, but they're there. And
are we allowed to say that?
It's not a spoiler, because they're not, not technically
a spoiler,
there.
Legally.
Oh, right. it's somebody that looked like some ninjas, right? They're not really
some
Naruto.
Ninja.
They just wear orange and blue like a certain other ninja. Like, they're not really, you know what I'm saying? I didn't put it in the show. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying.
We didn't draw it.
Right?
It's kind of, you know what's even funny about that? Just the fact that they're in there. Like, you know, my nephew used to wear his Konoha leaf to school. Like, these kids are, like, I remember we were talking a while ago about, you know, how we were into anime and it wasn't really that cool. And then, you know, the kids nowadays, you know, they're just graduating high school and stuff. And of course the young kids are around, but like, you know, my nephew's 18 now and in college, and several years ago, he used to wear his Konoha shinobi headgear to school, and other kids were doing it too, and it wasn't Halloween.
Facts.
You know, like, wear it around their neck and stuff and just whatever. And I'm like, okay, so it could be in fact like stating, hey, this is literally kids nowadays.
This is the,
like,
state of the world.
Kids,
yeah,
the state of the world. Kids are literally anime characters on a daily basis.
That is
daily.
Profound. I didn't even think of
and
that.
And no shame.
Right? Like I said, I had to pause it. I was like, hold up, fam. Yeah. Who is that in the corner?
Right. That was hilarious.
That was dope. So yeah, episode one, I really liked. I really enjoyed it. I think episode two gave me pause when it started. And it's because
we were wondering where it was going.
Exactly. Episode two deals with hair, like black hair, right? And this could go so many different ways. And because there has been media, you know, focusing on black hair in the past that hasn't done too well. And again, this isn't to say that you have to be everything to all black people. But there are some lines you shouldn't cross. And so I'm not going to talk too much about it. I do, like, I have feelings. You know, I have daughters, like I said. My wife, her hair has been natural her entire life. So there's things that I kind of know, but I really want to hear your perspective on the hair episode, because I was like, yes, I need Tess to speak on this. Because I was like, ooh.
I mean, honestly, I enjoyed it. Like, you know, we were watching it, and then remember when we were talking, you were like, hey, this could literally go, like, any way. Because it could. It could have gone in a place where it was like, okay, preachy. Or it could have gone in a place where it's like, you're alienating part of the audience that's gonna watch the show on episode two. Or like there could have been a lot of things. I mean, it could have just been amazing. Oh my God, like, I'm so glad you guys did this episode or whatever. Like, in a nutshell, it reminded me of the short, the hair short that won the Oscar.
Yes.
And that was great. Like, in a nutshell, because by the time the episode was over, it really gave you that kind of whole wholesome ode. You know, this is still a little girl. And the thing is, she is 13. I love the fact that they make it very clear every episode how old she really is, you know, because at that age, I remember being that age and having natural hair. Like, I was in eighth grade, and I've always had, I don't have the best hair journey in life. Like, emotionally, it's really, really been up and down. And I remember being 13, and I remember, being like teased my whole life if my hair wasn't straight, and the different what methods my mom would employ to get my hair straight. I remember getting a perm when I was young, like destroying my hair and all that kind of stuff. But I do remember being 13. There are a couple of things that happened in that year in regarding my hair, but there was one specific incident where I couldn't get my hair to work that day, and my hair was natural, and I remember I couldn't get it to like in a ponytail, and then my teacher ended up like taking me out of the classroom because she said that I was being disruptive because the kids were laughing because I
Wow.
couldn't get it into the a ponytail holder, and it just wasn't
See.
working. Like, I would get it in there and it would just like pop back out, and the teacher, black woman, said I
Oh,
was being
that's
disruptive.
extra. That's
Oh,
extra
yeah, it
false.
was
Like,
extra.
just as foul.
Yeah, and she told me to leave the classroom, and then I went into the hallway, and then she came out, and then she French braided my hair and took me back into to the classroom. And in fairness, like, okay, I shouldn't even say, I'm not going to say in fairness, but
Yeah,
there were a
that,
lot of
yeah.
different feelings about that because I remember when I got home, of course, my hair is French braided. My mother knows I don't know how to French braid. And she's like, "Who did your hair?" And I'm like, "The teacher." And she's like, "Why the teacher touch your hair?" And I told her what happened. My mom was not happy. I remember my sister was not
Facts.
happy. And I, like, in the moment, it helped because, like, she did my hair, and it kind of stopped the other kids from like laughing the fact that I couldn't get my hair in a ponytail. But then I remember other kids saying like mean things. They're like, "Did you have to go wash your hands? I bet your hands were really greasy." And like stuff like that. It was like I got bullied pretty bad for all kinds of things. And so, and that was when I was 13. So this episode with this girl being 13 years old and having some issues with her hair for picture day was really like, it reminded me of a lot of things. There are lots of girls right now who are having, they're going through their natural hair journeys and they may be having difficulties. But what I can say is that the way the world is now, if you're an American girl, pretty much you're being raised by women my age. Okay, and we're not letting you go through that type stuff. So a lot of girls now, they've got their moms and grandmas who are doing exactly what the mom did in this episode, who are being there for their child and supportive of their child and educating their child. I mean, it was very wholesome. You have the mom and the grandmother who are, loving to Lunella. They're not yelling at her. They're not beating her head up with a pick and a comb, And I think that that was fantastic because at the end of the day, it was, you had these supportive adults, and then you had a child who's been given a lot of her own agency. And, because at that age, you kind of should have a certain amount of agency. At 13, you should be able to, try, at least try to get a comb through your own hair. And it can be really hard for kids that age. Like, it was hard for me. And of course, me growing up, I had a lot of negative connotations on top of having thick hair. I've got a mom who doesn't have time, and it's frustrating for her, all that kind of stuff. And so I was just so happy to see the positive reinforcement from the adults, and then watching her go through the things that she had to go through to where she got to that point where she's like, I love my hair the way it is. And interestingly enough, the real debacle was somewhat self-inflicted, and then, of course, somewhat influenced by other people. I mean, another person really in particular. And that is a very real thing. As I just said, I had kids in my class who were laughing at the fact I couldn't get my hair into a ponytail, and the other kid being like, "Oh, your hair is so greasy," And so the fact that something similar happens to her from another child, it's just kind of like, hey, this is still a real thing. This is something that kids go through. So I wouldn't want anybody who's watching it who's not black to be like, huh? Like, no, this is real. This is
Thanks.
something that a child is going through at her age. And she handled it in the only way Moon Girl would, scientifically and, somewhat comically. But also at the end of the day, it taught a real lesson. She didn't really have any problem with what she looked like up until this pressure moment.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden it's like it's picture day and outside influencers are saying stuff like, she didn't really kind of care. And her mom was like, it's picture day. I want every picture that you've ever taken represents who you are in that moment. And then it kind of, you know, wheels start turning. Right. And then she's got a friend who's like, hey, I can do X, Y, and Z for you. I can hook you up for picture day. Because for some reason, all of a sudden, Lunella's like, this is so important. Oh, my God. Because guess what? At 13, 12 and 13, stuff all of a sudden does become extremely important for little girls. And then you have other kids who are coming into their own at the age of 13, who can dress themselves, who've got allowances, can buy their own things, and who can do the, you know, girls who have the ease of being able to get a brush and a comb through their hair and have never had a day in their life where, you know, a brush didn't get stuck just because they did something dumb. No, like a brush gets stuck in my hair because that's naturally the way it works.
Right.
Okay, so when you've got kids who can show up every day with something different or interesting, and you know that you only can wear like one style per week because that's all you or the adults have energy for, you know, things are different. And so I'm pretty sure that really what was going on with Lunella in that moment was kind of outside influence and self-induced, like, psychosis. But you get what I'm saying? Like,
right,
and it just
facts.
Kind of became anxiety-induced. And
and
then it just kept getting worse and worse to the point where she's like, I'm going to solve it the way Lunella solves things, which is through science. And so I like the episode because there was a natural progression. There were truthful, like accurate things that happened, obviously outside of the comic stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. The things that would only happen in a comic, clearly not real.
Exactly.
But the way it became an internal conversation between her and her, an extension of her body, I thought that it was smartly done, and it was really cute, and I enjoyed it.
Thanks. And shout out to Casey, who was ready to scrap on her behalf. She became the homie at that point.
Like, get you a friend like Casey, okay?
Thanks.
Because go ride or die, curse out your enemies in another language. Like, come on, man.
She
like,
was ready. She was with all the stuff. She was like, hey, fam, meet me after lunch. Like,
I will literally take your sandwich and your lunch money. Don't come for my friend again.
Even, you know, speaking of like Casey, she was like, I think your hair is great, but I'm willing to help if you don't think it's great. But then when, you know, the person was saying the things about, you know, Moon Girl's hair, she's like, wait, hold up. Like, she immediately was like, wait a minute. Like, it wasn't, there was no prompting from her friend. She was just like, no, like, who are you to even say whatever? And the thing is,
exactly,
I don't believe that, and I could be wrong, you know, based on this being an animation, but I don't believe that Casey is black, but even still was able to recognize, like, this is what you're doing is wrong. You know what I'm saying? So that's really, really dope.
Yeah.
Like, I was definitely pleased. And like we said,
Casey might be Afro-Latina, but she's definitely Latina. Or, you know, however she chooses to identify, but definitely Spanish-speaking. And she could be Dominicana.
Right.
You know.
She was down. She was ride or die, for real.
Oh, yeah,
shout
ride
out,
or die.
Shout out to her. And I believe that is Libby Brer from iCarly and Grey's Anatomy. She also did voice work for DuckTales. But yeah, she plays Casey and she does an awesome job as well. Speaking of cute, you were saying, they are really cute together. I think the chemistry between these two voice actresses is there. Like, I don't know if they hung out beforehand. Obviously, they have experience, so they can, they know how to do the job well. But just being these two characters that are younger than they are and still being able to, you know, give you this, you know, best, are we, you know, the, are we, did we suddenly become best friends vibe? Like, to be able to do that is really cool. And I think that's something that, you know, everyone can kind of see and appreciate. I know my daughters will definitely appreciate someone like Casey, because it does feel, there can be times just being black in a space that maybe aren't that many black people, you can kind of feel that anxiety. And that's you know, I mean, I gotta get my hair done now, you know what I'm saying? Like, but beyond hair is like just being amongst people, and they don't understand certain things, so they say things out of, you know, or they're just being mean or vindictive, evil, whatever the case may be. And then having a friend just be like, stop it. You know, that's really cool. And some solid writing.
A lot of times. Yeah, that definitely solid writing.
I would have gotten into so many less fights if I had a friend just be like, hey, pump the brakes. Pump the brakes.
Would have cried less. I definitely would have cried less. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and say I didn't have friends, but you know, like, we're all kind of going through similar things.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, shout out to Casey Bean, freaking awesome friend. And you know what? Helping in the way she could. Okay.
Facts.
Because she rolled up and said, look, homie, I got you. Like, I can do all of this. All of these things I can do.
Yes. She had her back for real. And she was like, hey, look.
Yes.
You come over to my house and I will hook you up. Like, there's just lot. So solid friend in Casey. And then we also saw the third episode. Now, third episode, we can't get into. There's a little bit more in terms of spoilerage there. What we can say is that Lawrence Fishburne shows up. He produced the show along with a few others. Helen Shuglin also helped produce. They created it based off of the Moon Girl, you know, obviously the comic book and whatnot. But they produced the show, and so he has a voice role in this particular episode. We can't talk about who he was, but we can talk about his performance. And what's dope about this is that he wasn't just Lawrence Fishburne. He was a character, which is really cool, because a lot of times, and this is no shade to anyone, but a lot of times a celebrity will, you know, jump into the voice acting, and they'll just be themselves, you know. As amazing as Eddie Murphy is, a lot of times it's just him. The good thing about that is that he's freaking hilarious, so it works.
Yeah, we just love him anyway. It's like,
you know what I'm saying?
Wouldn't want Eddie.
Right. You know, playing the donkey in Shrek, is just he's just being a version of himself, right? Though he can do all these different characters and all this other stuff, he doesn't really do that a lot with the voice acting. And so I thought this would be something similar with Lawrence Fishburne. And he surprised me. He did really well. And he was really, it actually took me a moment to realize it was him that was speaking.
Yeah.
And that says a lot to his talent in this regard. He took he knew the assignment, if you will, right? but this was also a good episode because it and like each episode has its own message, a positive message. And this one was more or less about how we view people, and not in the same way as like someone's hair, but like how smart someone is, you know, how do you treat people based on, you know, their background, their interests, their likes, you know, and it can be very easy to write someone off because, like we were talking before, if you liked anime, like back in our day, liking anime, it was something that you did. Like, to be honest, a lot of my friends liked anime. Not they didn't like speaking about it publicly, though. So there was a lot of people who liked it, but it was like, hey, yo, you watch Dragon Ball Z? You watch Akira? Like, you know? And then what you found out, it was like, oh, all right, cool.
Yeah,
and
we're cool.
You know what I'm saying? But in this episode, it kind of likened to that, where someone who might have, you know, was seen as not as smart as Moon Girl. Now, mind you, Moon Girl is a genius. Like, her IQ, the teacher asked her, like, it's a funny moment. The substitute is the PE teacher is substituting for science. And he doesn't really know what he's talking about. And so he goes over and he's like, hey, can you help teach the class? You know what? Actually, can you just teach this lesson, please?
Can you just teach the class?
Right. Can you just teach? So, you know, there's already this thing of like her being really, really smart. And if you read the comics, she's actually one of the top three smartest people in Marvel, period. So,
in Marvel, period. Yeah.
So like, you know, for this show, it's similar in that regard. And she sees another person who isn't as, who might be, yeah, he's not as smart as she is, but the idea of that is like, oh, you're lesser because, and that's not a good way of looking at people or treating people. And so there's this whole conflict around what people can offer and the idea of valuing someone outside of their work, outside of their, how they can contribute to whatever. It does go back into, and this kind of, it's not perfect because it does go back into what this person can contribute to a potential project or a potential mission or whatever the case may be. But the idea is sound in that you can't hold someone's worth based on the work they've done, how smart they are in school, or anything to of that regard. It was more so like this person is human, and you should respect them as such, even though they're not where you are yet, and all this stuff. And so it's a hard lesson, you know, for Moon Girl to kind of learn. But at the same time, funny. Like, it's different from the other episodes. I really appreciated it though. Definitely.
I wanted to mention, just like in what you were saying, because I just watched a video on it. I think it just popped up on one of my feeds, and it's called The Curse of Knowledge. And it's basically just like what you're saying. So I kind of want to say this just in the fact that, you know, as an adult, you're probably going to watch it with your kids, or, you know, if you want to screen it for your kids or whatever, it's fine. But I think that obviously everything is going to be said in a way that kids should be able to grasp, understand. But again, going back to the fact that these kids are this age and you are an adult, and it kind of will pull you back and remind yourself, hey, you know, I was this age once and X, Y, and Z, and kind of like, so that you understand, because sometimes it's very easy as an adult to kind of, especially when you don't have kids, to kind of just forget how to speak to children, and understanding that, hey, children grow and they learn, and, you know, they've only been around for 13 years and you've been around for 50.
Right, exactly.
but like one of that big message there with you being a genius and then being tasked to work with somebody who, you know, you deem way less than you, is something that we go through in life as adults all the time. Yep. And one of the problems that people have is being able to speak to somebody who doesn't know something that they know. The thing is like when you know something, I shouldn't say that you don't remember, because some people really do, but you don't necessarily remember what it is to not know that. And so when somebody else doesn't know that same thing, there has to be an understanding as to why somebody doesn't know something. And so when you don't have an understanding as to why somebody doesn't know something, a lot of time that triggers like, you know, inherent biases or whatever, stuff like that. Your own brain is going to make up reasons, because that's how our brain works. Your brain makes up reasons to fill in gaps to try to understand something that you don't understand. Because if somebody literally said to you right now they did not know that the sky was blue, you could probably sit there and be like, I cannot believe this person. But if this person has been blind their entire lives and no one ever told them the sky was blue and they had no understanding of, you know, but the thing is, if you didn't know that that person had whatever issue, you're trying to understand why this person doesn't know. And you have two choices. You can be a complete, like, a person who just doesn't understand and is just like, what is wrong with you, and thinks there's something wrong with this person, or you can be understanding. And I think that is a really good lesson to teach to young people. I mean, again, they haven't been on the earth long enough. And a lot of times they get their reactions. They have a reactionary behavior that they learn from older people. And why it's so important to kind of approach every day with understanding. That's something that having a brain injury has truly taught me, about like being patient and understanding that everybody can be going through whatever it is. I've met so many unkind people on this entire brain injury journey, which has been a huge struggle. But I just think it's so important. I love this episode, because I love that she goes through this struggle and that she learns this lesson and that she is proven wrong. And it, again, it brings our hero down a notch to not like, you know, but brings her back to reality. She exists in this whole otherworldly plane of education, of knowledge. And it kind of brings her back to reality and says, you know, with great knowledge comes, I need to be responsible in how I treat people.
Exactly.
And you know, and yes, in adults, we need to do the same thing. We're teaching the young guys. So, you know, I appreciate that, the fact that we watched that. And then I watched this video on The Curse of Knowledge, and it kind of spoke volumes to me.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and what's wild is because it wasn't, you know, how me and my wife were talking about how sometimes we're quick to, our reactions are, you know, we'll have a quick reaction to someone doing something negative to us based on how they respond when we let them know that we've you know, feel a way about it. For instance, if someone cuts us off and they immediately go, I'm sorry, it's like, oh, don't worry about it. But if they cut us off and we're like, you know, like, what up? And they like, you know, put up the middle finger or something. It's like, oh, well, forget you then. It's, you know, turns into road rage or whatever the case. And it's really, it's, you could handle it the same way, but because they didn't say sorry or whatever, you're like, you know, forget that person. What's interesting in this case is that he really, I'm trying to think with the other episodes, he really never did anything negative to her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He was just annoying.
Right. He just kind of annoyed her. And that, you know, I mean, they're 13. Yeah. I mean, they don't really like boys like that talking about right now. So it's, they all annoy each other. But, you know, and, you know, when they got paired up, he was excited. He was like, oh, I'm with one of the smartest people in school. This is going to be dope. And she, on the other hand, was like, dang, I'm with this dude. Like, I couldn't get, you know, I couldn't get Carly or whatever. Back. Like, yeah, you know, and because honestly,
Carly's not even in her class.
Right? She doesn't even show up. You know, she's in a different class. But like, it's, she feels that way. And it's like, what's interesting outside of that is, so you're already treating someone poorly, but then you're also like, he has, you know, he hasn't done anything to you. And you could potentially be this way with everyone. You know, now granted, to be fair, there was a, you know, there was a reason why she was a little down with him being on her team.
Yeah, she had reasons.
There's, you know, potentially there was a reward for doing well for whatever the assignment was, and it was a big one. And so she wanted to, you know, make sure that she got there because she looks up. And mind you, this is, even if this isn't a part of the MCU, Marvel exists in this world. And so you have other characters, other Marvel characters and stuff like that. So the prize was something interesting dealing with a whole other group of people that if you fan of Marvel, you know. And so she felt the way. And that I get, especially with her being so young. But at the same time, it's like you kind of need to know, like, hey, what you're doing isn't cool. And he wasn't doing the whole, like, I'm just going to, because at first I was thinking it was going to be like, she's the smartest. I'm going to let her do it. Just stamp my name on it. Boom. We're good.
Yeah.
Come to find out, he wanted to contribute as much as humanly possible, you know? And so it was really cool. Yeah. And it's a solid lesson. And I like the fact with all the episodes, even if some of them are a little bit on the nose more so than I would like, they mostly are show. There's a little bit of tell, but it's mostly showing. Let me show you what is actually happening, how your actions are affecting someone positively or negatively, outside of like, you know, back in the day, G.I. Joe, they would have that little part at the end, or like Thundercats, and they'll be like, hey, did you know being racist is horrible? Like, you know what I'm saying? They would have that little segment. This actually is, the message is all throughout the episode in a way that's, you know, easily digestible. Smart. Yeah. Very, very smart writing. So with that, we talked about all three episodes. So, you know, holistically of the show, I'm a fan. I'm going to be watching it with my children. The animation is great. The music is dope. Even the interlude music is pretty freaking dope. The character, the voice acting is good, and the writing is solid writing. Now, mind you, this being our podcast, and though I'm usually, you know, extremely critical, and you know, there's usually a score or whatever, we're not going to do that. Especially considering we only watched the first three episodes, you know, but we could say from what we saw that we recommend watching it when it drops. I believe it drops on, let's see, Disney. It goes to the Disney Channel on February 10th, and then it comes to Disney Plus on the 15th. So I'm guessing the first episode will be there, and then they'll, you know, I don't know if they're going to drop. As of late, they've been doing multiple episodes when they first launch, you know, and so I'm not sure if they're going to launch the first three, but we'll definitely be talking about the future episodes as they, you know, they roll out. And, you know, shout out to Disney for sending over the screener. You know, hopefully we can do more of this in the future. But yeah, I'm solid. And all the folks who were waiting for us to talk about Moon Girl, you knew it was going to be a dope show. Like, come on, son. You knew it was going to be dope. what are your final thoughts on Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur?
Watch it. Yeah. I I have lots of feelings. Obviously, they're positive. I really, really enjoyed this show. And I feel like, if you're an adult and you kind of want to something that's cute in the background, yeah. It has a lot of the vibe to me. Like, it reminds me a little bit, not a lot, because it's a lot. But it does have a little bit of like Powerpuff Girl-ishness to it, you know, but not completely, because Powerpuff Girls for real. I mean, yeah, you could be a kid and watch it and love it. But like, I watched that when I was like 19, and that show was for adults. I don't care what anybody says. Those jokes go over the heads of children. So, but there were some things that kind of reminded me that were kind of Powerpuff-ish, and I appreciate that a lot. I think that there's actually a lot of nods to lots of cartoons in the past that aren't just in this one, and I'm a fan. I think it's so great. I don't have kids, and like, the nieces and the nibblings I'm closest to, like physically, are like older, so they're gonna be like, yeah, okay, whatever. But if you've got little kids running around and you want them to have a Black superhero that they can identify with, not like look up to, no, it's not, you know, just like Shuri and T'Challa and, you know, whoever, it is a young person who's going through, you know, stuff that would be close to the, you know, to them. Because, hey, when I was 14, I got into Sailor Moon, and they're the same age. So, yeah. But I recommend it. I really do. I think it's cute. It's wholesome. And, yeah.
Definitely. It's a solid win. If you're listening on YouTube, feel free to hit the subscribe button and that notification bell so you're up on all the new content that's coming out. If you're listening on any other place like Amazon or Spotify, add us to your RSS feed, subscribe, all that good stuff, because we have more content coming. Like I said, this is a special episode. We're gonna have some other episodes coming up in the future, more interviews and such, and yeah, it's good. We're gonna have a good time this year. Like, we're starting off pretty good, I think. Yeah. Being that it's only January, right? So yes, definitely subscribe. Definitely share with your friends and your enemies. Mm-hmm. Do it. And we'll be back with more as soon as possible.
Keep it classy, everybody. Make sure you wear your masks and wash your hands, wash your faces, and your butts. Be kind. Hashtag be kind, everybody. Thanks for watching. See you next time. Bye-bye.